The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
You know, I try to be as logical as I can. I have confessed this openly for years. I am not the brightest bulb in the candelabra. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm really not. I honestly am Mr. Joe Average. I was very average in elementary school. I was very average in high school. I was very average, maybe a bit below average in college. One reason I worked a lot in college, but C, hey, I got a B every once in a while. A, that was rare. I think I had my IQ tested many, 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 many years ago. I have no idea what it was. But I assure you that if I had an IQ test, it would be very, very medium, middle, average. But I do have a brain, and I do try my best to use it. I try to think. God has given all of us the ability to think. And by the way, education and intellect often has absolutely nothing to do with wisdom. It's why I talk about educated idiots. There are a lot of educated idiots that have degrees, education, intellect off the chart, and have no common sense whatsoever and no wisdom whatsoever. So anyway, I try my best to be logical and try to think. Now, with that in mind, I am trying my best to think of the connection between the horrible murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis by a police officer that has been charged with murder, and rightfully so. We all saw it. Terrible, horrible, horrific, evil. But I'm trying to figure out the connection between the brutal murder of George Floyd and the Washington Redskins. I assure you, had it not been for the murder of George Floyd and the subsequent protests, the Washington Redskins this fall would be the Washington Redskins. Now, they've been pressured for a long time to change the name, but the ownership of the Redskins has adamantly said year after year after year, ain't no way, we are the Redskins, we're going to be the Redskins. Nope. And then they've had a change of mind, change of heart because of enormous pressure. Advertisers, money, millionaire athletes, many of them who are spoiled brats. No, they are. It's true. Many athletes in the NFL, NBA, the Major League Baseball are young, millionaire, spoiled brats. They are. Anyway, because of enormous pressure, now the Washington Redskins have said, okay, we're not going to be the Redskins anymore. Well, what are you going to be? Oh, we don't know. You change the name, but you don't know what you're going to change it? No. Shouldn't you have thought about that first? No. No, we're not going to be the Redskins anymore. Well, why? Well, because people said we shouldn't. I know, but why? Well, in the name racial equality. What does that have to do with it? So I'm trying to make the connection. Honestly, I'm not being facetious. Sometimes I mess around and I'm just being facetious. This time I'm not. I don't get the connection. And this story doesn't help any. This is a story from one of the major TV networks. And here's the headline. Native American son of Redskins logo designer said, "It's not offensive." Calls the change hard. Here's the story. Changing Washington's NFL team logo is bittersweet for the family of the man who originally designed it. The Washington Redskins announced Monday they will retire the Redskins nickname and logo. They have not yet selected a new name. Washington's logo has been an Indian chief since 1971. It was designed by Native American Walter Blackie Wetzel to depict a member of the Blackfeet tribe. Wetzel grew up on the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana and was eventually elected, listen to this, the guy who designed the Redskins logo was eventually elected president of the National Congress of American Indians in Washington, D.C. In other words, he was not just any commercial artist. He was a Native American from the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana, and he was the president of the National Congress of American Indians in Washington, D.C. Quote, he was instrumental in the Redskins franchise logo change from an R to the current depiction of a Native American. According to Wetzel's son, Lance, the logo is not offensive. Rather, it evokes a sense of pride. If you were listening yesterday, that was a point I was trying to make. Quote, everyone was pretty upset about the change. Everyone understood the name change. We were all on board with that. But once they weren't going to use the logo, it was hard. Listen to this. It takes away from the Native Americans. When I see that logo, I take pride in it. That's from a Native American. When I see that logo, I take pride in it. You look at the depiction of the Redskins logo, and it's of a true Native American. I always felt it was representing my people, and now that is gone. And then here's something I did not know. Quote, the Redskins logo is a picture of John Two Guns Whitecalf, a Blackfeet chief, who also appears on the Buffalo Nickel. I don't know. You young people may have not seen a Buffalo Nickel. I've got a couple in a drawer somewhere. And that Indian head nickel, that Buffalo Nickel, has the same Native American chief on it. So here is a Native American saying the logo honored American Indians. Quote, the Native Americans were forgotten people. That logo let people know that these people exist. If it were changed and it removed any derogatory feelings toward any person, then I think it's a win, but I don't want that logo to be associated in a negative way ever. By the way, over the past few years, the Washington Redskins have brought in Blackfeet tribal hand drum, Blackfeet singers, and shared that imagery with the fans. In other words, it was always positive. The Washington Redskins was never negative. It was never derogatory. It was always meant to honor Indians, particularly the Blackfeet tribe. The president of the American Indian Congress is the one who designed the logo. During the 2018 season, Walter Blackie Wetzel was honored by the team during a game against the Houston Texans. And yet, because of a handful of radicals and some advertisers and corporate executives that want to look good, this logo is going to be retired. Such is the world that we're living in today. I just thought you might like to know that history, that background. Now you know. All right, quick break. We will we'll be back and we'll wrap things up today. Hey, by the way, my telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Oh, there's about 10 stories I wanted to share with you, and we just don't have time. But this one, this is an I guess you could call it an editorial opinion piece by Shane Eidelman. He is the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship out in California. Never heard of this guy until recently. And I don't know, two or three weeks ago, I came across an article written by him. He is a pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in California, in Southern California. Again, his name is Shane Eidelman. He's the senior pastor, I-D-L-E-M-A-N. Never met him. I know very, very little about him, but this guy's got some wisdom. And I just want to briefly share this this piece, and I'm sure Jeff will have it up. 7 unmistakable traits of false prophets. Folks, we were warned that in the last time, false prophets would rise up. And my goodness, that prophecy is certainly coming to pass. We are surrounded by false prophets. This pastor writes this piece, 7 unmistakable traits of false prophets. Let me go through them just real quickly with you. Number 1, false prophets scatter God's flock rather than unite it. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep, says the Lord. As just one example of many, during the COVID-19 pandemonium, I saw a pastor mock another church that had stepped out by faith to host a meeting. Sadly, some people from that church did come down with a virus, but instead of praying for the church and protecting them by not spreading gossip, the mocking pastor had the audacity to ridicule them on social media even further, thus dividing rather than uniting. False prophets also divide the body of Christ. Listen to this. False prophets also divide the body of Christ by embracing liberal theology and supporting things such as gay marriage. Spirit-filled believers are left baffled and confused because false teachers keep promoting sin rather than looking to what God says. Granted, some Christians do not fully understand what the Bible says about certain topics and may therefore appear vague on their stance. These people are not necessarily false prophets. They're just biblically illiterate. Number 2, false prophets do not care for the spiritual needs of others. They appear loving to the world, but mature Christians can spot their hypocrisy a mile away. Listen to this. They march with ungodly movements, but say nothing about the murdering of children in the womb. They are arrogant and boldly shake their fists at God in the name of tolerance. That, my friends, is an indictment of many, if not most, of the pastors involved in the so-called social justice movement. People like Jim Wallace and the Sojourners march with unbiblical people but are absolutely silent on the unborn. Number three, false leaders encourage people to indulge the flesh rather than fight it. They are more afraid of holiness than sinfulness. Ooh, that's good. They won't talk about judgment because it convicts their unconverted soul. The very thing they need is the very thing they are running from, repentance. They promote freedom, but they are slaves to depravity. I'm running out of time. Number four, false prophets avoid the difficult truths in the Bible. To truly help people, we must preach the difficult truths as well as the joyful ones. Preach the cross and the new life. Preach hell and heaven. Preach damnation and salvation. Preach sin and grace. Preach wrath and love. Preach judgment and mercy. Preach obedience and forgiveness. Preach that God is love, but do not forget that God is just. Ooh, that's good. Number five, false prophets use the phrase, don't judge, out of context. Oh, boy, how many times have you heard that? Judge not apparently means don't offend. Number six, false prophets question the inerrancy and reliability of Scripture. Yes, yes, yes. Number seven, false prophets lack boldness and have no urgency in their preaching. It's an excellent article by a guy I hadn't even heard of until just recently, Shane Eidelman, Seven Unmistakable Traits of False Prophets. When you have time, even if you don't have time, take time and read it. It's really, really good, right on. And we're surrounded by a whole bunch of false prophets. Hey, folks, I hope you have an absolutely wonderful evening. But wherever you go and whatever you do, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.